Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Small Biz Talk Radio. This is Lori Leiker. I'm a small business coach in Austin, Texas, and I focus on helping people build their businesses to be the best they can be. Thank you so much for joining us today in this extra special edition of the show. We have a very good friend of mine who I adore, Amanda Karashi, with Dark Matter Digital Media. She is the person to talk to about social media. If you've got questions about your business and how to do social media, we're going to talk about it right now, right here, today. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Tell me a little bit about Dark Matter before we get into everything.
I've been doing digital media strategies and marketing for small businesses and nonprofits for the past 10 years or so. And, in different, but also doing certain, freelance projects on the side. And about a year and a half ago, I got laid off from my last job as part of a company-wide reduction. And decided at that point I was just going to try to strike out on my own. I'm in a really good position to do that because I have a life partner who's earning, and I have the luxury of not having a lot of pressure on me to immediately, make a lot of money at my business. So I was able to ramp up and learn as I went along. So basically what I do is I find small businesses or independent business owners, freelancers, people who are usually working with very limited budget and resources, but who want to be able to leverage social media to promote themselves and their businesses online. And then I also do that for smaller nonprofits or activist networks. And sometimes I do that under a contract, and sometimes I do it pro bono just because it's something I care about.
And you've spent quite a bit of your time working on nonprofit causes,
for sure.
The biggest being homelessness in your work with Mobile Loaves and Fishes here in Austin. And is there a big difference between doing social media and whatnot for nonprofits as it is for businesses?
I think that there are some differences. A lot of it has to do with framing and how you tell your story and the specific audience that you're trying to reach, right? There's a difference between a donor and a customer. And some of the mechanisms for how you engage online and the technologies and, user experience of how people want to interact with you in online spaces can be the same. But I think as far as marketing itself is concerned, I think that there is a difference. And there's also a difference based on the size of the organization or company, too, because I think that there are things smaller or independent businesses can do that larger corporations or organizations can't or won't. And if you're an independent business owner and you're really in charge of your own destiny, you get to make a lot more of the decisions about how you want to message yourself. And you also are able to take more risk as opposed to in a larger organization or company where you have to answer to shareholders or, layers of management. And some people are obviously going to be much more risk-averse than others and may not want you to be as creative or use these kinds of tools in ways that are, I guess, fun or interesting. They may have very set ideas about how they want to communicate or how they want to represent in online spaces, and that's understandable. But I don't think it's. I think one of the advantages of social media is that it allows individual people to have that voice and to be able to compete with these larger entities by having sort of a very human and very natural way of communicating. And I think larger companies who avoid that are only making it harder for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we're talking about social media, what exactly, just to get down to the basics, what is social media?
Well, I mean, there are different platforms or websites where people get together and rather than just exchange information, they also exchange opinions and have ongoing conversations around topics. So, you know, technically even a blog can be a form of social media if you have kind of back and forth comments going and people are using that as a point for gathering and discussing things. But of course, there's sites and platforms now that are created specifically for that purpose, like Facebook and Twitter. Some of them are, you know, and each one has its own unique qualities. Each social site is its own environment, and it has a unique culture. So, you know, the way that you interact on Twitter may be slightly different or maybe a lot different from the way that you interact on Facebook, not just because of the audience or the types of people that you're in contact with on each of those platforms, but also because the constraints or limitations or capabilities that each of those platforms has that the other may not. So, you know, for example, Twitter is considered a quote-unquote microblogging platform. There's 140 characters you can use for each tweet, and you don't have as much space or as much time to tell long narrative stories. Whereas on Facebook, you know, you can actually do that, and Facebook has integrated a blogging function, and it gives people the ability to have these ongoing, very rich conversations that can go on for weeks, actually, whereas Twitter tends to be much more disposable. And there are, you know, back and forth. There are conversations that happen, but they tend to flare up quickly and then die down quickly as well.
Mm-hmm. So when you're looking at social media for your company, one of the things that, I mean, I think pretty much everyone who thinks about social media thinks in terms of Twitter and Facebook, but there's also Instagram, and even YouTube is considered a social media platform. How have things changed? You've been doing this a long time. How have things changed in social media in the last, say, 2 or 3 years?
So I think that initially there was this big rush that everybody wanted to be on every platform and have a presence everywhere. So you would go to, you know, a small business website and they'd have like 6 or 7 or 10 or 50 of those little social media icons, and you would go to each of their, you know, profiles, and it would be very generic, kind of branded across all of them the same, and they would have these, you know, the cursory content that they put out there, and none of it would be particularly deep or inspiring. And I think what's happening now is different companies, different artists, different users of all types are finding a niche within a platform, and that doesn't mean that they don't use other platforms, but where they're really kind of taking hold and promoting themselves is in a specific platform that is, first of all, conducive to what they do and are good at, and second of all, is a place where their target audience is to be found, primarily, right? So In the first case, regarding, you know, finding a platform that's actually conducive to what you do. So, for example, you'll see a lot more retail and artistic accounts on a platform like Instagram, where it's a very visual platform, right? You see makeup tutorials. Mm-hmm. You see these kinds of things where people really are, you know, their business or their whatever they're trying to promote is visual, and so naturally it's going to be a better platform for them than something like Twitter. right? So they all of their energy into developing their Instagram into something really, really wonderful. Again, not to say they don't use Twitter, but they may not use that as their primary vehicle for how they are interacting online.
When I'm talking to clients about social media, I tell them to take a look at exactly what it is that they're doing. Uh-huh. And is it a visual medium or is this a more concept medium? Because if it's and who are you selling to? So
yep.
If your primary product is going to be business to business, you're going to want to go heavy on LinkedIn.
Yes.
Whereas if you're heavily consumer, Pinterest, consumer visual, Pinterest, Instagram, things like that are going to, and Twitter are going to be your best bet. Would you agree?
Yeah, totally. And, you know, I think that it doesn't matter, you know, how much you love or hate a platform. Really, the bottom line is if your market is in a specific location, that's where you need to be. Right. If you're trying to sell to, you know, the coolest new whatever skateboard, right, you're not going to be doing it on Facebook because your market is not on Facebook. They're going to be on Instagram and Snapchat and possibly Twitter. So it doesn't matter if, you know, you may hate Snapchat, but if that's what you want to promote, then you need to go where teenagers and, you know, 20-somethings are hanging out.
Mm-hmm. When we're looking at a new and upcoming social media, you mentioned Snapchat, there's Elo. What are some of the other newer platforms that are coming out?
I think Snapchat is it. I think that, I mean, not the only thing, but I think it's the one that if you're going to focus on something new, I think that's the one that's picked up the most momentum in the last year or so, and there's lots and lots of people using it, and there's lots of really cool ways to use it, there is a little bit of a learning curve to it, but it's not rocket science at all. It's something young people love, and I would say at least just pick it up and start playing with it for fun if you want to. If you want to learn something new. Besides that, I think the top ones are Instagram and LinkedIn and Twitter for their various, you know, whatever purposes. And then, of course, you know, are probably at some point going to have to be on Facebook just because everyone is there. And I think even younger people have accounts. They may not be using it as a social media tool, but a lot of young people are using the single sign-on function of Facebook for games and other apps. So you're probably never going to be able to avoid Facebook at this point.
Yeah, it seems to be
an
old
thing. Pinterest. Yeah, Pinterest is a really cool and really fun platform, and the people that love it, and the people that don't love it aren't there. So but the people that are on there, they tend to be a little obsessive about it. And if you do anything that can be translated visually online, it's an ideal place. And it's a huge driver for traffic if you do any kind of e-commerce or online sales or retail.
And some of that has to do with their easy integration into things like Shopify and whatnot.
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
What do you think... in terms of things that seem to have fallen away, there are several social media sites that used to be really big but seem to have gone away, one of which is something I really liked, Google+.
Oh, poor Google+.
I know. It's never really been a factor, but...
Yeah, you know, here's the thing, and I've given a lot of thought to Google+ because... It really was, in my opinion, it really was a technologically superior platform to Facebook. And it integrated with the entire Google suite of products. And it was such a, you know, the photography, you were able to upload these really high-resolution photos. So if you do any, you know, if you were an artist or photographer, even if you just wanted to share nice pictures of your vacation, you could do it. I mean, if you put those on Facebook, the resolution becomes terrible. And, you know, in Google Plus, you had all of, you had lots of really great functionality there, but it just didn't catch on. And and I think that is a really great testament to what social media is about. I know it's kind of a cliche at this point, but it really is about the social and not so much about the media. And I think that it doesn't matter how great a platform is or how great the technology is. I mean, people were, I started out online in these, you remember those old V-Bulletin board communities?
Yep.
Yeah, where you would, like, they had very little functionality, and it was just basically people posting messages back and forth to each other. And yet we would spend hours and hours a day on there because it was really not about the bulletin board at all. It was really about the community that we had. And so I feel like, you know, the real value of social media is about the people that you develop the relationships with. And you can do that just about anywhere. As long as they are people that are interested in you and what you're selling or what your products are or what your services are or your mission or your vision, then you can go and you can set up, you know, a place and build a community there. And I don't think you need to, you just, you know, you need to learn how to use those platforms. Use them, get to know them like very intimately, learn what they can do and what they can't do so that you can make your job easier. But when it comes down to it, your success on these platforms is really going to be about how you engage and how you manage community and how you and then paying attention, you know, through measurement about the things that you do and how those things affect the community and the reactions that you get in the community and the engagement that you get there.
So when we need to kind of get from there into practical, because we can talk today about all the different kinds, like it's like the difference between Mac and PC. You've got people who are very strongly Mac and very strongly PC. When we've talked a little bit about how to figure out which ones to use depending on what you're doing, but when you're sitting down with a client, what are some of the things that you look at in terms of what they're going to be using?
I mean, I ask them specifically to describe their target market, who they're talking to, right, demographically as specific as possible, and that may even include doing like just a good old-fashioned target market exercise, right? Like really try to put a fine point on who their audience is, and then find out what their, I mean, obviously what they've done so far, and gather as much information as I can about their successes and or not successes. Figure out, you know, what's worked and what hasn't worked, and really kind of dissect that and figure out, you know, why, so that you can take that going forward and then deduce where these folks are going to be that they want to reach. And then in the next step, really kind of start creating a content strategy around that combines the target, you know, who they are, what their needs are, how they want to be addressed, what motivates them, what gets them excited, and the capabilities and limitations of the platform on which you're going to be trying to reach them. And when you have those two pieces, you can get a very nice kind of finely tuned content strategy that you can maybe map out for a few months in advance. And then what you'll do is you will start with that content strategy. You'll start producing that content, and then you'll make sure that you measure the analytics on the interactions to that content. And so when it's time to revise your content strategy, you come back, look at what's worked, what hasn't worked, and make your changes going forward revise your content strategy based on that and start that cycle all over again.
Okay. So when you're going through it then, is this something that a company would be able to pick up and then take from you and execute themselves, or is it something that they would be better off working with you or someone to manage their social media? I know a lot of it depends on the size of the company.
Yeah, I mean, I think I personally don't want to manage somebody else's social media. So my goal is to get my clients to the point where they have a system in place for how they want to write their strategy, how they want to revise it, how they want to measure their successes, and how they want to create content and distribute it. And all of those things, once we've got that down, they should be able to manage that on their own, and that's the ideal situation. But, you know, I mean, there are a lot of organizations or individuals. If you're a managing partner at a small law firm, you just may not have the time for that. That may not be it's not worth your time, right, to do that. So you may want to hire somebody. But I think it's harder to do that with somebody outside your company than to do it by hiring at least somebody part-time who can work inside with you, who understands your voice, who understands how you want to represent, but also understands your clientele and understands exactly how to communicate with them. It's very hard to do that with somebody who just, like, manages a bunch of social media accounts.
Right, because, like you said, they don't know you as well as somebody who is on the inside.
Right.
Would know. So
right.
When you're looking at putting together a strategy, I get this question all the time. Well, how many times a day should I send out messages? Is there kind of a sweet spot for that, or is it more dependent on the type of company, the type of audience, and those kinds of things?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can make general recommendations. You know, they say the life of a tweet is 15 minutes, and if you tweet once a day, then it's gone in 15 minutes. It's not going to show up in anyone's timeline, right, because Twitter moves so quickly. So you have to post 5, 6, 7, 10 times a day sometimes, if you know, depending on volume of content that you want to share and the number of people that you're following and all of that. So I think you can make some general recommendations, and I'd say between 5 or 10 tweets a day. I'd say 1 to 2 Facebook posts a day. You'll have to find your own sweet spot, but you have to also keep in mind that each of these platforms has its own flow and its own, its own culture. And so if you go on Facebook and you post 10 posts a day, you're going to be annoying people. But if you go on Twitter and you only post once a day, nobody's going to see you, right? So it's just a matter of, yeah, totally.
What is your favorite utility to use for social media posting?
For social media what?
Posting.
Oh, so I use Hootsuite myself to manage all of my accounts. I do actually really enjoy going into each platform individually and posting, but especially if I'm managing multiple accounts or have clients, I use Hootsuite, which is probably the most affordable of this type of tool. I think it's, you know, something like $10 to $15 a month, and the next bump in that category of software is going to be far, far more expensive. I don't think Hootsuite is perfect, but I think it is, for the price, it's the best possible thing you can get. It allows you to manage almost all of your social media in one dashboard and generate reports. And, you can schedule things out. You can time them how you want. and then you can monitor everything very quickly at a glance. So I generally use that. It's not perfect, but it's the best I've found.
I like using it a lot better than things like Buffer and whatnot, just because you do get some really good, if you're looking to track all of your analytics, you're looking to track how many you've sent, how many views, all those kinds of things, how many people have clicked on your link, then that's the best in terms of reporting that you're going to get from any of those types of softwares is the Hootsuite. The other question that a lot of people ask is, well, I don't know what to tweet. I have one client who goes in and will do 17 tweets of his top favorite tweets of other people. Other people only do content curation where they go into a news site and that's all they put up. Is there a good ratio of the number of information things that you post to sales, like, here I am, this is what I do kind of post?
Yeah, I mean, I in my opinion, it should be like 80-20, with 20 being 20% self-promotion and 80% being comments and actual real interactions with other people, sharing information that is going to help position you as a subject matter expert, which may or may not have anything, you know, specifically tied to your company or business. But so, you know, say you're an accountant, you can definitely post things about budgeting and, you know, money management and whatever, you know, things that go along with the kind of work that you do or your specific expertise. But when it comes down to it, you're going to get the most engagement and the most followers by having human interactions, back and forth interactions. And that's the ideal. And you have to devote time to that. You can't just, it's not a, you know, social media is not just a broadcasting system. It's not there just to put information out into the world. It's a two-way communications tool, and you have to be willing to do that. Otherwise, there's just no point.
Mm-hmm. And it's easy to get lulled into a sense of non-engagement when you're using something like Hootsuite, because you don't always see when somebody's popping up to make a comment. What I've done is I've got specific notifications that you can set up that lets me know when somebody's commented so I can jump in and continue the conversation.
That's right.
And for a lot of people who use content curation, they don't include any of their own comments. So they'll talk about, they'll just post something and never say anything about it. It's important to make sure you put your two cents in at the beginning, because then it shows that, A, you've read the article, and, B, you've got something to say that can add to your reader's knowledge base.
Yep. Absolutely.
So we're running short on time. You and I have talked about this for long time, periods of time. And I kind of hate to stop the conversation. I'd love to have you back on, because this world is constantly evolving and changing as new things pop up and old things go away. Is there one thing that you'd like to pass on to those who are listening that's kind of one quick tip that people can take away?
Just that unless you're actually measuring what you do, you have no idea how effective you're being. And I think that's the piece that most people don't want to deal with it. But if, you know, you're basically operating blind if you're doing any kind of business online and not using analytics of some kind to measure your performance. And so make sure that that's part of whatever strategic plan or communications plan that you have. I don't understand why anyone would not have it, but it's very common, actually. Most of the clients that I work with have no way of knowing if they're being effective.
Thank you so much, Amanda,
for
being with us. And we've been talking with Amanda Karashi from Dark Matter Digital Media, You can find her online just about anywhere. She's on Twitter at I'm the Q. And she's awesome to follow. There are so many more levels to Amanda. So what we're going to do is have her back on. But thank you so much for joining us on Small Biz Talk Radio.